Your recording has already started. You may now proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 18th of April, 2016, UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room, so if you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Okay. I was going to hold off doing the roll call and such until after the agenda, so we'll come back to that. Thank you. I also would assume that you have the list of names that you get when people call into the telephone. So the first thing I wanted to do was review the agenda. This is Aubrey speaking. After we've reviewed the agenda, then we'll go into the roll call and the SOIs. And in this case, I'm going to want to point out that the SOIs is not only requesting them from people that are newly joining the group, but also asking if anybody's got any updates. People that have updates would be requested to fill it in on the SOI form, and then also to speak of it when asked in the meeting. Then we go on to point three, which is listed as continued discussion on the catalog of advice and statements from 2012 round of new GTLDs. What I've actually got in that section is basically three slides, one harkening back to the chapter in terms of rooting ourselves in what we're doing, one on the need for the catalog of advice, and then one just giving a quick preview of an upcoming milestone that's being suggested and discussed. Then we'll go into a continued discussion on subject one, should there in fact be additional in the future. Can I ask everyone to mute, please? Thank you. Then we'll go continued discussion on subject two, which is the TLD types and differentiation. Both of those discussions will be led by Jeff. Then we have any other business, looking at Wiki Workspace and discussing liaison to review, to the review of all rights protection mechanisms, et cetera. So those are the agenda items. Any issues or questions with them? I see no hands. Any additional items? I see no hands, so we'll go through with this agenda. In terms of roll call now, as Michelle said earlier, that the roll call will be based upon the names of everybody that's in the Adobe Connect. I'd like to ask at this point if there is anybody who is not in the Adobe Connect but is participating through the phone bridge to please speak up. Okay, I hear no one. If someone comes into the call later, they can probably be captured in the names list, or they can add their names later when the minutes come out, when the notes come out. In terms of SOIs, as I mentioned, does anybody have an update to their SOI that they'd like to mention? Okay, I hear no one, so proceeding on to the slides that I loaded up. Can we see the... The first slide, when it comes up, you'll see it's a few words from the charter. One of the questions that came up at the last meeting when I was listening to it was a questioning on why we were going back to the GNSO recommendations and why we were discussing that, almost as asking whether we shouldn't just be talking to what was in the applicant guidebook. So that's why I wanted to put up the pits of the charter again, just to sort of indicate where we're at on that. Steve, any chance of putting up the slides? I sent you a PDF as well as the slides.
Hi, Aubrey. This is Steve from staff. I actually didn't
Okay.
Today.
I'll go on reading.
So let me go ahead and work on trying to get convert into PDF.
Oh, I sent them about 45 minutes. That was an older copy. Sorry, I will send them to you again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, they've gone off. Now, the first one, anyone can actually find it in our charter. And the first bullet was, the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group is tasked with calling upon, and then it gives the reference to P5, Part A, and that is the recommendations that were made by the GNSO. Communities' collective experiences from 2012 new GTD program round to determine what, if any, changes may need to be made to the existing introduction of new generic top-level domains policy recommendations from 8 August 2007. Then a later bullet says, these policy recommendations remain in force for subsequent rounds of the new GTLD program unless the GNSO Council would decide to modify those policy recommendations via policy development process. Later, it lists three bullets. The first one is clarifying, amending, or overriding existing policy principles, recommendations, and implementation guidelines. And those have been the specific items that we have been talking through now. The next bullet is developing new policy recommendations as needed, if needed. And then the final bullet, supplementing or developing new implementation guidance. Now, the application guidebook is certainly a critical piece. I'm not quoting any longer. It's certainly a critical piece of what we have to look at and what we have to understand. But basically what we've been doing on this is basically following the charter in the first instance of going back, making sure we've understood the policy recommendations that were accepted and moving on from there. So I just wanted to bring that up. We will certainly be getting to the application guidebook, and I think as we develop recommendations, we will need to map these against how they were expressed in the implementation. Okay. Any issues on that one? The slides haven't come up, but before I go to the next slide and the next topic, I wanted to see if there was any further discussion. Steve, have you received an email, or am I getting lost in a something somewhere? Steve says I've been lost in the ether. Wonderful. Is there any chance that I could be promoted to host so I would just load the PDF? If not, I will go. Okay, I just got promoted. And share a document. And please forget the dead time. Does anybody come up with any questions on that last one or comments? In which case, I can't see the hands. Okay.
There are no hands, Aubrey.
Okay, thank you. And I want to put the Acrobat version of them up. Oh. Okay. I don't like the size there. But anyhow, we're on the okay. And then going to the next one. Okay, thank you. And you can demote me now if you haven't already. Okay, then the rationale for the inventory of advice. Because there had been some questions as to why that was an important thing to do and whether we should be doing that. And one of the point starts with the board has made it clear that any proposals this PDP puts out need to respond to GAC and other advice that was sent to them as they need to do their due diligence. So our recommendation documentation needs to show that this working group gave full consideration to all advice. Having a clear inventory seems to be a necessary first step in making sure that we have covered all of the advice that the board received. Now, we talked about this in, you know, what for Benner terminology is the chairs and others group, and basically looking at this, you know, and you know, think it'll be important to make sure that, that this bit of fact of what went on in the past is linked always to the reference letter in the board archives. So what we're really looking for is the things that were sent to the board and can be found in their archives, things that they would need to be deal with, that they would need to deal with. And then suggesting that as we move along, that we should mark these pieces of advice with references to which, if any, of the GNSO recommendations or staff implementations, also called the guidebook and additional applicant material that is directly affected by this or which it affects. So that's really the rationale for starting to collect that. You know, Jeff and I think Steve already did some collection over the weekend. I don't know if they, either of them wishes to speak to what they've done there. I still think that from the discussion that I listened to, that it really does make sense to have a point person from each of the groups that did submit such things to the board to basically be participating and able to say, yep, you got it all, so that we really make sure that we don't have any holes in this particular process. I see one hand. Jeff, please.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript. And, yeah, I spent some hours this weekend just trying to find some registry statements online. I found that a number of them, the links were not working, so I actually reached out to the Secretariat of the Registries to get those links to work again. But if Steve wants to just put that up on the screen, it was pretty easy. It took a little bit of time, but not too bad because the registries actually have a pretty good – they have all of this up on their public website, so it's not – it wasn't too difficult. Now, I think the GAC also has a pretty good database that's online that's viewable, so it shouldn't be too difficult to collect all of those as well. I've spoken to the registrars this morning to see if we can get their statements, and I'm going to work on that. But it would be great to see if we can get other statements up there. I don't know if Steve is – you got my document, right? There we go. So I know it's kind of small, but it's got a link. I made a link for each of the documents and a quick description on the subject matter. And then we'll start to fill in kind of the other columns, which can't see right now, but it's on a Google Doc, so we can fill it in with the other columns eventually of date of board action. Wow, okay. What any action was, and notes for just future procedures. So that's it. It's not that difficult. It would be great to get someone from each constituency, stakeholder group, AC, to kind of help us coordinate these. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Avra speaking again. So, as I say, I'd like to reiterate that perhaps one of the things we can add to our just standing agenda is basically asking for an update on that at each meeting and working with the staff as necessary to capture all of those. Are there any other comments or questions on that? Not going to ask for volunteers from each of you this time, but next time when one of us goes through asking from the various groups, hopefully someone will speak up. Yes, Alan, please.
Thank you. Just for clarity, has a formal request gone out to the various groups asking for this inventory, or is this just being done through the people in this meeting?
At this point, it's been done through the people in this meeting. Are you recommending that we send a formal request to?
I would think so. This is really important, and we don't want to have someone saying, waving something afterwards and saying, you forgot this. So, and I think this puts the onus on the various groups, and that doesn't make it easier for me as chair of ALAC, but I think it puts the onus on the groups to try to do the inventory and make sure that nothing's missed.
Okay, thanks. I think it's probably good advice. Steve, please.
Aubrey, it seems like we're having some audio technical issues with some people not able to hearing you or Alan. I'm not sure if it's consistent or not. That's what I'm not sure.
Oh, I have Carlos saying he can only hear me, so he did not hear Alan. I guess did not hear you. Craig saying he hears all fine. There has been certainly a couple phases with a lot of noise and breakup. They seem to have stopped. So Carlos, you really only hear just me. Well, of course, no one else is talking at the moment.
Sounds like Rubens has the same problem.
So, right, okay. I don't really know what to do about that. So you've been talking and people have not heard you.
Nobody can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I don't know if others can.
I can hear him.
This is Michelle. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try and continue now, and maybe someone in the background can track out which lines are having problems.
Avery, it's Alan. Maybe you could repeat what I said for Carlos.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to do. Thank you. So just to reiterate, Alan had suggested that it would be a wise thing to do for us to send a note to each of the SOAC stakeholder group constituencies requesting the list, requesting these items and not rely on just the people in the group carrying their message, as he didn't mention, but there could be a group that has no one here. So I think that's good advice, and yeah. I see no other hands. I'm seeing lots of comments. I saw that Susan had a comment that was longish. I didn't have a chance to read it. It would be useful to make it clear what the type status of advice is. In case of the GAC, for example, there should be clear distinction between GAC advice and something that is less than formal GAC advice. Olga has mentioned some principles from a GAC working group that she would like to share. We'll need clarity on the status of those principles, since I do not believe they are GAC advice or indeed. That they're, or indeed formally adopted by the GAC. So, yeah, I think that, okay, so you're saying basically there should be another column in this thing that indicates, and I think that we can talk, so basically a statement on form of advice, because it could be a letter to the board from a committee or some other point, and as you say, it could be formal GAC advice or some other communication. I think that column is probably a good column to add, and we can look at the material that Olga sends when we get it. Okay, any other questions or issues on that particular item? No? Okay. Now, is it possible to go back to my slide or the... It should be right there. It is right there. Yeah, okay, it's there. Okay, to the third slide, which was just a preview of a next milestone. And basically, in our conversations, I won't go so far as to call it a formal decision, but the group seemed inclined to divide the customary so-called constituency comments that one goes out with at the beginning of a PDP working group into two parts. First of all, these would be sent to the all the constituencies and stakeholder groups and the other ACSOs for consideration. There are specific procedures in the working procedure, the PDP that discuss this. We had talked about dividing them into two. One of them only includes the overall issue questions, including whether there should be subsequent procedures and the issue of types that we've been discussing. Then a second constituency comment would be done later that focused on questions concerning the themes. And there has been some unresolved discussion in the chairs group on whether that was one call or several. So that's a question that at a later time we'll bring back to the group to see where we're at. But that's not an issue for now since we're talking about the first one. So assuming that that's a reasonable milestone and one that the group is willing to accept, we would like to actually time doing that by the deadline for the Helsinki meeting. Starting to schedule backwards from document delivery requirement dates, this gives us about 6 weeks. So we're in the process of putting together the draft. There's a copy of the working thing in comments on the page that's shown, looking for people's comments over the next week, either in the comment file there or on the list. And then next week, we'd like to put a more detailed discussion of this on the agenda so that we can then move ahead with that. Comments? Questions? Okay, fantastic. Hearing nothing, seeing nothing. It means that we've concluded item 3, and we'll move on to item 4, and I'll turn the microphone over to Jeff to continue discussion on subject 1. Should there, in fact, be additional new GTLDs in the future? Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Jeff Newman again for the transcript. I will... Steve, are we going to put a copy of the page, the subject 1, up on the screen? I notice that there's – oh, I can't be heard. Sorry, Carlos. I'm speaking. Can anyone check why Carlos can't hear me? I usually don't have that problem.
You are crystal clear at this end, Jeff. It's Alan.
I hear you, Jeff.
Okay.
I hear you.
All right, great. So if you remember the last time that last call, we talked about, the overall question of whether there should or should there, in fact, be additional new GTLDs in the future. We came up with a whole list of pros and a list of cons as to why it should or shouldn't, we shouldn't have new GTLDs. And it was really a brainstorming session. We were not evaluating whether these statements were true or not. We were not saying that we agree with them or not. We were just kind of listing what we either know ourselves, have heard, our impressions, and things like that. So, sorry, I'm looking at the chat, and there's still people having some difficulty. I wonder, can anyone hear me through the audio of Adobe, or is it just if you're on the phone?
I hear you in Adobe, though you do occasionally break up and it comes back, but I don't know if that's me or you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so when we say that there are pros, these are reasons for additional new GTLDs, and the cons are reasons against having additional new GTLDs. So what we want to do today is to go over these again, see if there are additional pros and or additional cons, and then the most important exercise here is to see what data can we collect to either support or not support these different pros and cons. So one of our exercises really not to just is to do a little bit of fact finding, or also, I should say, relying on other groups that may have already done or will be doing this kind of analysis. So if we go through the list one by one, what I really want are people to just kind of speak up as to where we can get data to support or not support those particular statements that are up there. So we'll do this for a little bit, and then we'll jump to question, the next question on, I guess, agenda item 5. Does everyone understand? Hopefully audio is working for those that couldn't hear me earlier. Yes, okay. So the first pros we have listed are, the first one is that in 1999, the community came to consensus that there should be new GTLDs to stimulate competition. You know what, I might just read them and see if people have additional ones and then go back to see what kind of data sources we can get. So then the next one, pro for having new GTLDs, additional new GTLDs, having new GTLD, additional new GTLDs would stimulate innovation. There's an expectation that there will be new GTLDs, so those that didn't apply in the first round could actually apply. So if you recall, in 2012, we said, or prior to that, we said that you don't have to apply in the first round, that there'll be additional mechanisms to apply for new GTLDs. They could be viewed as anti-competitive if we do not go forward with the, getting or having an application process for new GTLDs. Additional brands could help propel the current level of registrations and or success of the program. We feel that, or some people felt that having additional new GTLDs would promote more or could promote more diversity in new GTLDs. There's likely to be further demand for IDNs for those whose first language is non-Latin scripts. Another reason, if there is just one new applicant, this proves that there's a need in the market. New GTLDs have higher security demands, so the bigger the protection of registrants. And finally, to further enhance consumer choice, consumer trust, and competition. So I want to leave it open to see if anyone has brainstormed any additional arguments in favor of having additional new GTLDs. And there were a number of people that weren't on the call. So, Steve, good. Steve Coates.
Thanks, Jeff. Coming at this from a tech standpoint, I think these are really good. One nuance I might add is that I feel that my company is at a competitive disadvantage for not having a GTLD. So similar to, where is it, could be viewed as anti-competitive. A slight nuance to that is I think we're at a competitive disadvantage because of the various advantages that are listed in the pros.
Thanks, Steve. We could probably add that on to it could be viewed as anti-competitive. We could probably put it in that same bullet point, figure out a way we can word that. But I think that's a good one, and thanks for coming out and saying that. I know it's brands oftentimes have difficulties making coming out and saying that what you just said. So I'm going to repeat it for Carlton because Steve basically said, Carlton, that Twitter, his company, feels like they're at a competitive disadvantage because they did not apply in the last round and they are looking forward to applying in a subsequent application process. So in addition to it being anti-competitive, or kind of the corollary to that, is that they feel like they're at a competitive disadvantage because they cannot get into the game, so to speak. Any other reasons? And Carlos is watching me to make sure I don't say the word round, and it is taking a lot to not say that word. Okay, so why don't we just go through the – can anyone – obviously some of this is going to be data that we're going to get from the CCT review team. So I would suspect, for example, the first bullet point and the last one are certainly ones that we're going to expect data from the CCT review team. Okay, Julie, I think, is writing that down, or someone is from ICANN staff. Thank you, whoever's writing that. So if we jump to the second one, thanks, Julie. Having new GTLDs will stimulate innovation. Okay, Avery.
Hi, yeah, seeing that last note, this is Avery speaking, seeing that last note added reminded me that we should report that we will be having a communication with the CCT, hopefully later this week. Need to make sure Carlos can get involved in that if possible. And we should be able to report something back on that next week as well. And so that just gave me a good opportunity to say thanks.
Thanks, Avery. And even if we have up here that we want data from the CCT review team, that might not be exclusively the CCT review team. So if there's other sources for the data for some of these questions, then, you know, let's list those as well. So on the second one, and thanks, Julie, for numbering these, having new GTLDs would stimulate innovation. So what do people think are sources for that information? I do know that the CCT review team is looking at this as well, so we could say one source of data is the CCT review team. But this could also be questions to the we could in theory do a survey or questions to different communities, and I use that small communities, to see if they've seen any innovation. I mean, it's a tough term, so it's not, and it may be a little early. Steve Coates.
This is Steve Coates. I think I hit the button maybe a little prematurely. I think the early topic is certainly true, and I think the topic of innovation is both theoretical. I think it's mostly theoretical at this point. So having hard numbers, hard data to put on that number too might be difficult in my opinion. But I know from my own team and my peers, there's a lot of things that are theoretical that are very exciting in this space.
Thanks, Steve. That's a good point. And perhaps we will see during the course of our work during the next however long it takes us, what types of innovation may come from brands or what other types of things we see that are new services or new ideas. Steve Chan has his hand raised. Steve.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve Chan from staff. And I guess I want to add a little bit of context to this conversation and say that what was a part of the original recommendations from 2007 is an assumption that there would be continuing rounds. And so I guess I would pose a question to the working group whether or not we need to reestablish that there is a need for new GTLDs. As I guess I'm saying there's an assumption there is going to be new GTLDs. Do we need to reestablish that there is a need given the existing policy?
Thanks, Steve. That's a very good question. Avery.
Thanks. Yeah, I thought that that was essentially what we were in the process of doing, is trying to determine, since everything in that policy is up for review, even the fact of having other ones is up for review. Now, we're seeing some incredible arguments that say, yeah, but it really looks like there's a lot of good reasons for doing what it said we would be doing. But I don't know that we can actually presuppose the answer. I think we can have an expectation of what it might end up being, but I don't know that we could presuppose it without due diligence and making sure that we've taken the pros and the cons into account and balancing them, and then collecting the comments from others and then coming to a recommendation. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Avery. And I do think that to the extent we can find some data sources to test some of these out, I think that's a good thing. So like Steve Coates coming forward and saying, look, Twitter has does want to apply. They didn't apply in the first round. There was an expectation there'd be additional rounds or mechanisms to introduce the new GTLDs. That, you know, I think that that's a good statement for us to capture. Alan, you have some thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. I guess I want to reinforce what Avery said. Certainly we have expectations of where this is going, and some people have high hopes. There's also been a lot of discussion on negative aspects of this whole program, and if, for instance, the CCT review team comes out with some reports of things which may well make us believe that there's a balance of things and maybe we're not quite ready for another round or another call or whatever it is, because we have to address some issues that they've come to understand better than we do right now, I think we have to presume that this is an open question until we have all of the information in our hands. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I think that's an important point, because there will be a number of groups that will argue the cons as to why we shouldn't go forward and what's the need. So to the extent that this group feels like, you know, we agree with the notion that there should be or could be additional new GTLDs, having some data to support that is, I think, vital. Or alternatively, if this group thinks that there should not be additional new GTLDs, and certainly having more than just statements out there saying that it's, you know, like number three, new GTLDs has been a playground for rampant fraud and abuse for trademark holders and others, you know, obviously there should be some data to support that, if that's what, you know, the group comes to believe, that a lot of decisions from ICANN working groups can be made on feeling or, but I think we should make the decisions based on data to the extent we can get them. Greg Shatton, you have your hand raised.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. I think as a general matter, especially with cons, we might want to separate them into two rough categories, which if and when. Some of these are kind of when cons, like reviews have not been completed, and others are if cons that might indicate we should never have any more new GTLDs or, you know, would tend to be problems no matter when we have a new GTLD round. I think that In terms of the first one, reviews have not been completed, I think that's an excellent con of the if of the when variety. It seems like, you know, it feels like we're putting the cart before the horse. I've even seen some calls in the GNSO council or elsewhere to postpone the reviews because of volunteer burnout. And it seems that to me that seems to be exactly backwards. If anything, you know, we postpone the forward planning to allow time for the backward reviewing and lessons learned post-mortem type stuff to percolate. I'm not saying that we should do that or even that such a thing is within our remit, but, you know, clearly something like figuring out what worked and what didn't is always a good thing to do before you do your next version. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I think that's a good. I think it's good to separate. I believe into if and when. I believe only number one. Let me see. Is the when? I think the other cons relate to if. So there could be others that relate to when. We just may not have listed them. So if there are additional ones, let us know. On the issue of one thing I did want to ask you, Greg, since you've come out and said you're a supporter of or that you think that that's a good argument, con argument, which reviews do you think are critical for to be completed prior to the introduction, or has the IPC or other groups that you're involved in, have they discussed which reviews they think this should be contingent on?
Oh, this is Greg again. First off, I'm talking personally, not in my role as president of the IPC or even necessarily as a member of the IPC, just as a concerned citizen. We've had various loose discussions around reviews and the general concept that if you're going to be reviewing the first round in the general scheme of things, it would seem like you'd want to figure out what you've learned from that before you go and actually implement again. But I don't have kind of a full list of the reviews or a parsing of which ones would make more sense to wait for. Really, the CCT review is one. As we're talking about stimulating competition as one of the first pros, you want data from the CCT review team. That's not coming, tomorrow. And same thing on the last point. So, those reviews that are intended to provide kind of a wrap up of the first round are clearly ones that should A, not be postponed, and B, to my mind, and rational process. This is not necessarily a rational process. In a rational process, we'd want to complete those and figure out what they're telling us before we relaunch. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And I think, there's a lot of people that certainly agree with your views. One thing I would mention is there are a lot of reviews that have been popping up either that are required by, like the Affirmation of Commitments, which is the CCT review team, which will eventually be part of the bylaws in post-transition. But there are other reviews that some groups have taken it upon themselves to do. For example, ICANN staff has taken it upon themselves to do a bunch of different reviews. The GAC has taken it upon itself to do some reviews of things like geographic names, and the Public Safety Working Group is reviewing a bunch of things. So it's just a question of which reviews do people feel are vital and don't need an answer now, but just something to think about. We are talking to the CCT review team. There's been some documents, and their mailing list is public if you want to read those. There are some topics that they're not going to address, and hopefully by the next call we'll be able to circulate some of the topics that the CCT review team will leave exclusively to us to do the work. So not everything falls within the remit of competition, trust, and choice. So that'll be good to get that conversation and some things that we know that they're not going to look at. Alan, you're next.
Thank you. I'm sorry to feel like this is a tutorial for how to be a reporter, but some of these are not only when and if, but how. For instance, the number three, new GTLDs have been a playground for rampant fraud, and one can continue with spam and phishing. That's not likely to be true for all new GTLDs. If it's true, it's likely to be true for a subset, and therefore we may want to impose restrictions on any future call for new GTLDs if it's not around, to put restrictions on so that doesn't get repeated again. So there's a lot of subtleties in what we're talking about. These are not likely to be black and white questions completely. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Alan. And I will also state that we will keep coming back to these questions as we get new data and new findings, new reviews. So these two questions, and we'll also seek input from the relevant, all of the ACs, all of the SOs and constituencies, stakeholder groups. So this is not something we're going to discuss and conclude today or even this week or month. So, Greg, is your hand a new one or one that was left up? Okay. Tracy. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, hi. Rick, just a quick note on the previous conversation about which reviews should be completed or at least significantly underway with, you know, good data coming out of them, good metric-based data that you can use as an evidence base for evidence-based policy development, which, of course, is the holy grail of policy development. There's things like, so it's more than the CCT review. The CCT review is one of the really important ones. But there's also things right across the ecosystem, not things that are just embedded within one constituency. Things like rights protection, things like trademark clearinghouse review, which that one's almost finished. Things like group stability review. Things like the DNS abuse review, which is also nearly finished. And I believe there's an exercise going on about the development of metrics. Now, I would have thought that the development of metrics would have been a conversation that the whole community would want to investigate to a really serious degree before proceeding too far in policy development on new GTLDs because... you know, that can only be a good thing. It can only be a great thing for, doesn't matter which side of any argument you come from, if there's some sound metrics to demonstrate how successful or unsuccessful or, you know, beneficial or not beneficial a particular policy has been, then that's a great thing. So the development of metrics exercise would be useful if it also came before detailed policy development on new GTLD. So that's just an answer to the question before about what are some of the review activities going on that perhaps should be either completed or significantly underway before too much detailed work gets done on defining policy for new GTLDs.
Yes, thanks, Tracy. I think metrics is absolutely important for any policy development process. I believe there are a number of metrics that the CCT review team has, actually before the CCT review team, there were policy efforts underway to give the CCT review team sample metrics to look at and to measure the, I won't say success because there's never been a definition of what success is, but there are metrics to measure or attempt to measure consumer choice, consumer trust, and competition. So it's hard to there's never been a definition of success or what success would be all about, but we do have those metrics that the CCT review team is compiling, and Carlos has said on the chat there's 70 metrics. So I do think that that's something we're going to look forward to seeing their review of those metrics. And we'll also include in the reviews the ones that you had mentioned on DNS abuse, the trademark clearinghouse, the rights protection mechanisms, the root stability, the root server stability study. I probably got the name wrong, and the others. So on the next chart, we'll list those out because I think those are important. If there are any others that we miss off the list when you see it the next time, please let us know. All right. Is there any other data? So if we look back and taking Alan and Greg's comments that some of these are when, some are if and when, and some of these are if, and then some of these are how. Is there any data that we can look to and how to on some of these cons? Because we know that these arguments have been made, and we do need, if we believe that we should go forward with additional new GTLDs, we should address these cons, at least the if cons, but also the when cons. We should be able to address those. I think groups are looking to us to address those questions. So if I just take one out here, I'm looking at the chat. So like number three, new GTLDs has been a playground for rampant fraud and abuse for trademark holders and others. Do we know of any organizations that are collecting this data? Carlos, is this something that's the CCT review team is looking at as well? Do you know? Because I know they're looking at safeguards. Carlos, yes, please.
Yes. Yes, this is Carlos. Thank you very much. Yes, there is a full collection of issues. First, there is two external consultants checking on the development of the one is Nielsen, looking at registrants and consumers. The other one is analysis, looking at some economic numbers, prices, etc. And now we're developing some on the related to the protection issues, abuse, etc. So there is a lot of discussion at a very early level of all these, let's call them indicators. I don't know if I answered your question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And I think perhaps we'll just look through some of those and fill in these charts where we see that the CCT review team is collecting some data. We should also, as Avery said, get some more information on when the chairs talk to the chairs of the CCT review team later this week. Any other comments on this? All right, what we'll do is we'll leave this list open. To the extent that you have additional ideas on the pros and the cons, we should keep documenting them. To keep documenting sources, and since they're overall issues, they're going to be ongoing topics that we will come back to periodically when we talk about specific issues that we may have on the specific items or the specific tracks, I should say. Want to jump while we have a little bit of time to the unless anyone's got anything to add. Avery, anything to add on the subject, or should we move on?
No, I have nothing. Carlos's hand is still up. I want to make sure that is an old hand. Yes, it is an old hand. Disappeared.
Yeah.
Okay, so just want to check. Does anyone else have any last thing that they wanted to say on this item before we moved on to the next item? Okay, seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Yeah, please continue with subject two, TLD types and differentiation. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. It's Jeff Newman again. If we could, I don't know, Julie, how easy it is to post that chart that we did. We are, for this question, again, this is kind of an overall question that I think we need to come to some position on eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, because it does impact the other tracks. So this is whether we should formally adopt the notion of having differentiation or categories of top-level domains. And what we did the last time during the last call was brainstorm some ideas on categories that either were informally or formally recognized in the 2012 round and perhaps some additional categories that were not recognized in the round that perhaps we could see future applications coming in for those types of TLDs. And this was not intended to argue who fits into those categories, because those are some very complex questions, but rather ultimately to do on this call is to just to discuss common characteristics of these groups or differentiation between these groups to see if we as a working group believe that we should be approaching additional new GTLDs from a category standpoint. So the categories we came up with the last time, from the 2012 round, we have open registries. That's kind of your standard open GTLD. We have geographic top-level domains that were also recognized in the 2012 round. And when I say recognized, that if you applied for a, quote, geographic TLD, you had to have support or non-objection in certain cases. In other cases, for country names, I'm sorry, for territory names, like a continent name, for example, you needed to have a certain percentage of countries. So while there was no category that you necessarily checked off and there didn't no different terms and conditions, in order to get through the application process, you had to do some different things. The 2012 round also eventually recognized Specification 13 or brand top-level domains. There are unique provisions in the registry agreement for intergovernmental organizations. And then, of course, we have community registries, which went through a process. Only if there was contention did it go through a community evaluation process. And then, of course, if you did apply as a community, whether or not you went through the community evaluation, you had a new specification that was added to your registry agreement that commit you to those requirements that you had proposed. Those are the ones that were recognized in the 2012 round in some shape or form. And there were three others that we brainstormed, and then one other one I added during the week in thinking about this question a little bit more. So the other concepts we added were validated registries or verified registries, and those are really restricted registries that in which qualifications criteria have to be verified. So Craig Schwartz is on the call from .bank. They have some very specific criteria in order to have a .bank registration, plus it's not just qualification criteria but also usage rules that apply in that case. So that, you know, perhaps there's some different treatment that they could have on a number of different areas. We also brainstormed perhaps we could have some not-for-profit or non-profit GTLDs. There were a few that applied in this round, in the 2012 round, so perhaps that could be another category. Also came up with highly regulated or sensitive top-level domains. So to the extent, you know, .bank was considered by the GAC to be sensitive or highly regulated, perhaps they would have different application procedure, different contract. I mean, these are all things that we can explore moving on to different topics if we believe that there should be categorization or differentiation. The last one I added I think is actually important and was one expected of us to evaluate, which is the notion of an exclusive use registry. So before the application round in 2012, some did not anticipate that there would be companies or organizations applying for a specific, what we would call a keyword or generic term, in order to use that exclusively within their own organization or with their affiliates. So we, you know, there was certainly GAC advice issued after the fact. There were lots of different letters and discussions on whether we should have exclusive use registries. But there has been no policy development on it. It really was just a decision that was made by the, decision made by the new GTLD program committee, but we really should be looking at whether this type of exclusive use registry should be allowed or not allowed in the future. so that we have some bottom-up multi-stakeholder policy on that topic. Can anyone think of any additional new GTLD categories? And I'll turn it over to Greg. Actually, he's got his hand raised. So, Greg?
Thanks. A couple things. First, I'm not sure, when you're talking about exclusive use registries, are you talking about other than dot brands, or are you kind of throwing dot brands back into that discussion, since, you know, dot brands, well, there can be a lot of different innovations. You know, the common iteration of a dot brand is essentially an exclusive use registry, but it's not a closed generic, if that was the term you were trying to avoid, along with, you know, trying to avoid the term rounds. I recall back in the day we had sponsored TLDs, and I was trying to remember exactly what distinguished those. And we had restricted TLDs and other concepts, and I'm not sure if those are kind of translate or if those are other things that we didn't kind of look at this time, and, you know, whether we need to have, you know, categorization in the sense that, you know, whatever we think of, if there is truly innovation, we're not going to think of them all. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And I think, and maybe Avery can provide some background from the 2007 policy process, but my recollection is that the 2007 policy kind of divided or further evolved the concept of sponsored TLD into what became the community TLD, because the sponsored TLDs were not Aubrey posted that on the chat, so I see that. So they were, the sponsored TLDs were not the brands, so to speak. And the reason I added the exclusive use registry, and we probably should be more specific, is that brand TLDs still have the obligation that they, not only that they have to have a trademark, but also that it, in specification 11, it's not a generic term. So even it has to be more than just a trademark. So even if the Food Network, for example, owns food as a trademark, they have not qualified for a brand TLD because of the things that are required in specification 13. For exclusive use registries, I was more referring to Google's, not Google, because they didn't do exclusive use. There were companies out there that applied for, okay, some that dropped their applications. Safeway applied initially for dot grocery. Now, they eventually dropped it after ICANN said that they wouldn't allow Safeway to use dot grocery just for themselves. And there were some other top-level domains that did that as well. So I think that that's my differentiation between a brand TLD and any exclusive use registry, and I'm not necessarily limiting that to brands. That could be anyone that applies for a registry for a quote generic term that they want to use for just themselves. So, Karen Day does say that Google did get exclusive use for .play. Okay. So there are certain groups that do have exclusive use if it doesn't meet the definition that's in the I think it's specification 11 of the new GTLD registry agreement. So it certainly a number of them were restricted if it was truly a generic term to describe a category of goods and/or services. So that's my differentiation on those two different ones. Carlos, you had your hand raised, but you just dropped it. Do you want in? Yes, Carlos.
Thank you. Yes, Jeff. I don't know how much because our time, but I wanted to ask, how can we comment on this categorization? Because right now it's only on list, and some of the ones that you added at the end, because it's not in the screen anymore, are like different levels of filters for the first line. I mean, we have these standard ones and then standards that are still a generic name but have more specific conditions because they're an NGO or they're a sensitive or highly regulated sector, et cetera, et cetera. How do you want to develop this categorization issue? Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. This is Jeff. I think what we want to do now is to kind of come up with these are not definitive categories. This is not, you know, what we're ultimately going to come out with whenever we come out with recommendations. This is an attempt to see if we can find some common characteristics between these different categories and then what differentiates these different categories. Agree on the concept of whether we think there should be TLD categories after we look at the different similarities and the differences, because this is going to play into a number of the different tracks. So an example we've been talking about is in the legal regulatory track. To the extent we look at the base agreement, the base registry agreement, there's a question in there saying, should there be one new GTLD agreement, or there should there be different new GTLD agreements dependent on categories? So this will play into all the future or a lot of the future tracks discussions. But as Aubrey said on the chat, you know, you can comment on email or comment in the comment areas on the wiki, and we'll certainly build them in. Ultimately, my goal is to try to come up with the characteristics that these categories share and then the categories that these – or, sorry, the characteristics that these categories differ. So I'm looking at the chat. Is there anything in the chat, Aubrey or Steve, that we should – bring up? I've kind of missed a couple things. There were the comment from Kurt, I know. If we look back a little.
This is Aubrey. Yeah, one point I did want to make in relation to Kurt's comment is that we're not trying to say that these types existed for the previous / current round. It's just that when one looks at what happened in that round, one sees these types emerging. And one of the things that we have on the list of considerations is there a one-size-fits-all? If not, what are the types and what are the conditions that apply to those types? Not questions for us to answer now. We're still at the analysis stage of this, the investigative stage of this. But basically, if the question of no, there's not one type fits all, we need to treat different types differently, if that is answered positively, then the next step is to look at the varieties, the types, decide which ones should figure as individual types, and if so, what their characteristics may or may not be. So again, it's the beginning of a conversation, but there's no presumption that what we're saying applies to the previous round. It's just emerging realities that we notice when analyzing that round. What kind of applications did people make within the standard set and within the community type? There were only two. Even the notion of brands came later as an emergent type. So, and then perhaps some implementation-based policies were created. Those are things we need to look at as we move forward. Thanks. Steve, I see your hands up. I probably talked too much.
Thanks, Aubrey. Steve Coates. I will try and speak louder. Rubens brings up the point overall that one reason for having TLD categories is to allow applicants to request a specific category, and if I can't, we'll allow that for that application to be denied. And I think that's an important point overall, that there should be, the applicant should tell the story, and it's up to ICANN to decide whether that fits in with the specific categories to the extent that we go down that route or not.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I think ultimately, yes, if we decide that there should be these categories, there's going to be a lot of work from a policy perspective to give guidance on what, how we define these categories, and then ultimately how ICANN or its evaluators would determine whether it fits into one of the categories. So I'm looking at the chat, and I don't know if Greg wants to explain his comment, but he said, should FOE, I think that's how you pronounce it, communities, be a recognized type. Greg, do you want to address that, or should we go to – let's go to Alan, and then, Greg, if you want to address that, you can. Alan?
Thank you. I was just going to add one more clause onto the sentence, the summary you just gave. And if in ICANN's view, the candidate or ICANN's view, or more likely the external panel's view, the candidate does not meet the criteria to be in the category they have suggested, what happens with the application next? Is it categorically rejected? Does it fall into a generic pile or whatever? That's clearly one of the issues that we saw in this round is the fallbacks were not always what the various communities would have thought were logical. Thank you.
Right, and then that also weighs into the whole discussion of contention resolution as well. So there are a lot of implications of setting up these categories, and then, of course, prioritization. What if you have someone apply for it in one of the categories and then someone else apply for it generic? How do you – is there a prioritization or not? I mean, these are all questions we're going to have to
– if I might butt in, Jeff, do we really want to do this?
Steph, for the transcript, Alan, one really likes doing all this, and this is what I live for, and Cheryl as well, with the indication of a smiley face. So on that note, I know we have two more topics we really want to get to, so I'm going to turn it back over to Avery, but just remind everyone to please read the notes from the meeting and go to the wiki, add comments. You know, this group can only function if everyone kind of pitches in and gives their ideas. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. This is Avery speaking again to take us through the any other business. Before I start on the any other business, did anybody have any additional any other business that they wanted to mention at this point and put it in the list? No? Okay. So the first thing on the list is Wiki Workspace. I believe that that's something that Steve will speak to.
Sure. Thanks, Avery. This is Steve Chan from staff. And so I've been making some changes to the working group wiki, and I just wanted to draw the working group's attention to it. So one of the things that I've done is actually create a space for each of the subjects that was identified in the charter. Let me just go ahead and grab the link and put into the AC room chat. So that's one thing. And so I think why this is important is I think we all envision this PDB taking however long it's going to take. But I think what's going to be important is to make sure that we capture the conversations that are held and the deliberations and make sure that each of these subjects has a complete record behind it so that we can have rationale for decisions we've made. And so it's very easy to track down what has happened. And so towards the decisions, I've also created a decision log, which is currently for the moment empty. And so hopefully we'll be able to populate that as well. And so I guess I just want to draw attention to the wiki. It's a resource. I think it will obviously be added to. One of the other things that I recently added was a link for catalog of statements and advice from the community. I think we'll also want to document the parallel efforts related to new GTLDs, things like the CCT review team, the GAC efforts. I think just making this as complete as possible is something that staff will try to do, but also will rely on the members of the working group to help populate this space and to make it useful for everyone. So just a few of those things. I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention, and that's all I had to that. But just wanted to remind everyone that the working group wiki space is here as a resource for everyone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Yeah, so I don't know if anybody has any questions on that. One thing I did want to point out, you mentioned a decisions page, and just wanted to remind people that in terms of decisions, we're operating on that at least two readings type of process. And then also to note that decisions made at that point are always still subject to the, you know, comments we receive and also, you know, how things fit together and you know, nothing is fully closed until everything is type of ideas. But we do want to start recording the decisions that have been through a first reading, that have been through a second reading, et cetera, so that we can go back and track things and have dates and documentation. So any comments on the wiki? It's a useful space. You can add comments that have a degree of permanence, so you can also delete them. And so you can also mark yourself to follow so that you hear about every time a change is made. Though if you do that, I recommend you stuff that in a folder because it can become quite active. Anything on the wiki and the wiki usage? Okay. Moving on to the other issue, and there is one any other business, I just remembered it's a matter of timing of the call, is the liaison to the protection mechanism group. What we are doing with the CCT is we essentially have someone who is a member of both groups acting as sort of a bidirectional communication point called on between the groups. We think it would be a good idea to do that for the RPM. So the first thing would be to see if people in the group think it's a good idea. This is the chair's group discussed it. And then we would need to find someone who was in both groups, who was interested in doing it, and check with the RPM group to see if they were willing to accept the idea. So I open it up to discussion to see whether this is a idea worth following or what have you. Anyone? Okay, does anyone think it's an awful idea and we should forget about it? Please either say something. Okay, a hand went up. Jeff.
No, sorry. I was raising my hand before you asked that last question. It's definitely not an awful idea. In fact, it's actually required by, I think it's the RPM charter. So we are going to have to come up with a liaison that's in both groups. Mary is posting that the RPM working group is meeting this Thursday, and they'll discuss the liaison as well. So for those of you, and I think there's at last count 27 people that are in both groups. If one of you is interested, please be, you know, willing to volunteer to serve in this role. I think it's an excellent role for someone to be in. And if no one does volunteer, then the chairs are just going to have to randomly appoint someone. So I'm kidding on that last part because I know there's going to be lots of volunteers. But we do really need someone to be a member of both groups to be the liaison. Thanks.
And, yeah, this is Avery. And if there are many people that want to do it, we'll probably ask you to figure it out amongst yourselves, how you want to work it and try to put one person forward if possible. Because I don't think the chair should be the ones deciding, but we always can in a pinch. Any comments on this further? I see no hands on it. So the last thing was two people from the European time zone mentioned that the call at this time was a hardship. I had mentioned that the two alternating times we had were considered to have been the best worst case we could find on a global calling, but I also mentioned that I would ask the staff to take a further look at the issue and, you know, perhaps we have nobody from a particular time zone and therefore do not need to be as concerned as we were theoretically at the beginning, thinking we would have people from around the world. So, you know, I'm making that request. I'll open the floor briefly to anybody that wants to comment on the time zone issue, though I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. And I realize that it is hard. And I also realize that for some reason, those of us on the East Coast of the U.S. seem to get the least raw deal. And I know that sometimes doesn't look so good to people. But basically, you know, asking the staff to take another look at it and come back with any other proposals if needed. Yes, Carlos.
Yes, thank you, Avery. This is Carlos. We found in the use of country and territory names a rotating times that would cover from Australia to the West Coast. But although you want to limit the discussion on the time zone, I would go the question differently. I mean, what is the rotation of all areas of the world in this PDP? And then ask the question of if the time is a barrier for better participation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a good point. And I would ask people, you know, as we talk about this, I think we need to make this a list discussion as we get other recommendations. And if you could send the list, the time zone rotation that they had, so we can see it as an example, that would be a useful tool in this. I would prefer not to spend a lot of time on this process issue, but as you say, if it's a barrier to participation, and we did have a fair number of people saying, sorry, can't make it at that time, then we really do need to take care of it. So taking it seriously, want to look, I know it's one of those nearly intractable problems, but we have to try and track it. Any comments on that? I see none. And Steve and Julie, do you accept this problem being laid back on your table? If you don't, it leaves it to me to do, and that's a mess. Okay, Alan, I see. Oh, no, your hand was up, but it went away. Okay, well, I guess we'll leave that as an open discussion. We'll take it further to the list and see what happens. If it gets too complicated, we may find a quick ad hoc group of people from various time zones to figure it out. Okay, anything else? We have 7 possible minutes left, but absolutely no reason to use them. If someone doesn't have an issue they would like to bring up at this point. I see no hands. I hear no voices. And so if there's no objection, I'd like to call this meeting ended and thank everyone for their participation today at whatever time of the day it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Thanks, Avery. Thanks, Jeff. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.